Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with my dad, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson, and our physician in residence, Dr. Meg Meeker. I'm the only non-doctor in the room. Feeling a little insecure now.
There's still time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
You're young yet.
I think there is, but I think the most I'm going to get maybe will be honorary someday. Today, this is going to be an exciting program. We're going to talk about your brand new book, Dad, Your Legacy, and I am thrilled.
You actually were recorded reading the book, and that is the audio for the production.
Yep. I naively signed up for that task, not having any idea how hard it would be. And I got to be honest, though, I am so excited for this because I can't wait for people to read this book. It is your heart and your soul. I think times... the mainstream media paints you into a corner. They say you're old and you're harsh and you're angry and you're rigid and all of these negative things. And I know a different man.
Yeah.
I know my dad. And I think there are millions of people out there that saw the original film series that know a different man. But there are generations that have been born and all they've heard is this other person that I've never known.
Negative spin.
This negative spin. And this book, I'm telling you, it was so hard to read. I bawled. And you can't do that in audio version. You can't tell a story and you go, woo. But we're recording. Our engineer Mark was here. And I just, after a while, I got to go. I just get up and walk out. I couldn't talk to anyone. But this book moved me. And I'm really excited for our listeners to get this book. I don't know if you remember this. It was last year. I was in your office and we were talking. And you told me a long time ago you were explaining the theory of relativity and how time speeds up as you get older. And I didn't understand that concept for a long, long time. But I have. For Lucy, who's 2, a year is half her life. For Lincoln, who's about to be 8, a year is an eighth of his life. For me, it's 1/44 of my life. And for you, right now, it's 1/78. And I asked you what that feels like, and I'll never forget your response. And it really did change me that day. I started thinking about you and your work and the ministry and my work and my ministry differently. You said, without missing a beat, there is so much left to do, and there is no more time. Because we tease you about working too hard and taking on too many projects and things like that. But that really is the heart of this book. It's the heart of the new film series, and it's your heart. There is a lot you want to get done, and there's just not that much time left.
Well, you know, Ryan, after my days at Focus on the Family came to an end, people thought I was going to retire. Everybody thought I wanted to retire.
People who didn't know you.
And people said you had retired.
And even people who I do know thought that that was what was in store for me. But I never contemplated it. And I felt like I had God's hand in my back. And he was whispering in my ear. And he was saying, the job's not finished.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it. You still have work to do. The family is still in disarray. And it's getting worse year by year. And you might not be able to change the whole culture. In fact, I can't. But you can do what you can. And that's why I'm here. And I'm loving what I'm doing. And I believe more passionately than ever that the things that I have stood for are right. They come right out of Scripture. And that's what I've tried to write in this new book.
So people that have listened to you for a long, long time, there's a lot of new stuff in this book, things that no one has ever heard before, stories that you've not linked together in this way. I think the first time I heard you do a version of this was at a pastor's breakfast, and you were telling a lot of these stories, and I thought you had said, don't record it, and I remember texting Robert Wolgemuth, who is the executive producer of the film series. And I said, if someone's not recording this, they should be fired. And no one recorded it. And I was so sad. And yet, in a way, that turned into the film series and the first film on legacy and this book. And that's why it's so exciting to me. What are people going to see in this book that they don't know? that they've never heard before? How are they going to view you in a different light after reading this book?
Well, first of all, let me say there is a linkage between the 40 books or so that I have written to this point since 1970 when Dare to Discipline came out. And what I'm saying in this book, it's not all brand new concepts.
Sure.
Because if it's new, why didn't I say it 40 years ago? But everything I have written to this point, Meg, you will understand this. I have been pointing toward something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is a subtle message that's implied in almost everything I've written.
Yes.
And this book is the capstone of that something. Mm-hmm. What I have been conveying and what I've been moving toward, and it has to do with winning your children to Christ.
Right.
If you look at most of my books, you'll find that the last chapter of nearly all of them talks about this, about how to do it and why we need to do it. But this book goes for the heart of it. What really matters? Mm. And I'm telling you, there is nothing else. I've lived long enough to know that if you don't get this job done with your children, if you don't introduce them to Christ, if they die in an unregenerate state, and ultimately it's their choice, but if you don't do what you can to bring them to that understanding, I hate to say this, it's almost shocking. It is shocking. You will never see them again, because there is only one way to find eternal life.
Jesus Christ.
And that is Jesus Christ. And so this book conveys that message and talks a lot about my own heritage, mm-hmm. of how I came to this point and how we can pass it on to the next generation.
Will you explain then what you mean by leaving your legacy? Is your legacy teaching your kids about Christ? Is it broader than that? What are you trying to communicate?
Let me give you a definition, okay? The difference between heritage and legacy is this. The heritage that you pass on is what you give to someone.
Mm-hmm.
The legacy is what you do in someone.
Wow.
It has to do with character and values and spiritual understanding and commitment to Christ. That's the legacy I care about most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you pass on in the will and so on is not what I'm talking about. You know, it's not about money. It's not about things that you can sell or put in a bank.
Why do most people think that?
Yeah.
When they talk about leaving a legacy for their children, they're talking about trust funds and inheritances and yeah. college funds and things like that.
Or a good name.
Sure.
Or
yeah.
prestige or, you know, having been to the right school or something.
Those things are important. We want to accomplish things with our lives, and we want to help our kids understand that. But ultimately, it's something much greater than that.
Are you talking about imparting a large portion of yourself in another person?
Yes, it's an investment in the lives of those children. I have talked about the fact that I almost made the biggest mistake of my life when I graduated and received a PhD, and the whole world opened up to me. Like I could not have believed. I was on national television. I was on radio. I was suddenly a professor of pediatrics at USC School of Medicine. I was writing books that were successful. Everything came up roses for me. I don't know why. Well, I think I do know why, but we'll talk about that some other time. But that's a heady thing for a young man especially to experience.
Yes. Sure.
I mean, it really is, because you can get drunk with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You really can. And for a man, accomplishment is everything to him, and earning money and making a name for yourself and so on. For a woman, that's important too, but she's got something else
exactly.
on her mind. You know, it's relationships and it's nurturing and it's caring and it's family. For a man, a young man who has it all too quickly, he can really make some big mistakes. And I was doing that because I was loving it. And I was having a good time being what
I had. And you were a Christian at the time.
Well, I was a Christian. Yeah. I only had a daughter. And Ryan, you weren't born yet. But my dad saw all this happening and was concerned about
it. Let me stop for a second. Yeah. It was easy to do, though. You're helping people. It's not that you were accumulating all this stuff and look at all the stuff that I have. You were helping people that were really in need. You were doing a good work. So it's not just...
Yeah, I was fulfilled. I was feeling good about what I was doing, but I was missing the heart of it all. There was something more important than all of that. And it wasn't about earning money. It wasn't about all that success. It was about what really mattered most. Mm. And my dad saw all this happening, and he sat down and wrote me a letter. It took him 4 hours to write it. He was on a plane on the way to Hawaii. And I still have that letter because the impact on me was profound. And the essence of it is he started out by saying, I am so proud of you. I appreciate what you're doing. It's almost shocking to see what's taking place. And that's a good thing. But I have to say to you, from where I sit in my stage of life, if you do all these wonderful things and you lose your kids, it'll be pale and washed out. It won't make much difference. It rocked me
really
to the bottom of my feet.
See, that's what your film and the film series Where's Dad did to me. It just, I remember I had to be quiet for a long time and just think about that impact. Is that how you felt when
that's
you read
exactly
those words?
Exactly how I felt. And in fact, Ryan, when you came along as a little boy, you saw your mom and me fasting and praying one day per week.
Oh, yeah.
We prayed for you almost every day, but we devoted one day a week to fasting and prayer. We're praying for you and for your sister. We were praying that above all else that we could pray about, health and business and all the things we could pray about. We were saying, Lord, you know, when we get to the other side, may the circle be unbroken. Lord, work in my children's lives because it's a wicked world out there. In fact, that line from my dad's letter said, the world is a much more wicked place
That's
now
right.
than the world into which you were born.
Right.
And if they're going to withstand the pressures of the culture and the world, it's going to take prayer. And prayer that cannot be given if it is all signed and conscripted and laid on the altar of career ambition. That's the exact words that he put in that letter. Yeah. It's about a 3-page letter.
It's a beautiful letter. It is a beautiful, and it's in the book.
Yeah.
There are so many things like that in the book. Here's what I want to know, because there are other men out there that feel the way you do right now. And the way I did when I saw the Where's Dad film.
Yeah, you're talking about the one that was done in 1978.
Yes.
It was seen by 80 million people.
It's going to be in the new series because it is so powerful, you just can't redo it. It was so powerful when I saw that. But for me, the question was, well, what do I do? What was the first thing you did? You read this letter and you say, oh my goodness, he's right. What do you do?
Well, during that period that I received this letter from my dad, I once went 17 nights without being home. I mean, I look back on that and I am disappointed with myself, you know.
With two little children and a wife at
home. I only had one then, but she was 3 years old and my dad wrote to tell me that I was making a big mistake. I was not being a bad dad.
Right.
But I was just running too fast, and I was too absorbed with myself.
Sure.
And that's the greatest impact of it is I realized that I had things all upside down.
And if your father had not pointed that out to you, your life could be in a very different place today.
Listen, I want to tell you something. The relationship that I have with that young man on the other side of this table in the studio and my daughter who's out in California was greatly influenced by what happened at that time. You know, the love that we have for each other and the opportunity to go through life and the satisfaction of knowing that Ryan and Danae get it, that they are loving the Lord. And now Laura comes along and she understands and is committed to Christ. And they're teaching their children. That's legacy, man.
That's legacy.
That's legacy. That's not an inheritance.
Doesn't
that
get any better than that.
That is legacy. And it came out of what my dad did for me. Now, ultimately, Ryan, in answer to your question, I left USC School of Medicine. I loved being there.
I bet.
I mean, that was a plum of a position, and I was doing well, and I was being promoted and all those things that happened. And I was involved in medical research, and I felt good about that. But there came a point where I said, I'm going to have to leave. And I walked away from there because I felt the Lord telling me the institution of the family is falling apart. I saw then where we are today. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sound like a prophet, but I saw it. And I left the university again, largely because of that letter that my dad had written.
And what did you step into? Did you know what you were going to do when you left?
I didn't know what the impact of it would be, but I started a two-room office called Focus on the Family. That was the beginning of Focus on the Family. Try to make a difference. And try to win people to Christ. And that outranked what I was doing in a medical school.
Did friends tell you at the time, oh, you're crazy, what are you doing, you're death to your career?
Nobody said that, but Shirley said, are you sure? Are you
really
sure this is what we need to be doing?
You're going to leave a steady paycheck and insurance and promotions. And
an accounting department, a legal department, and all the power that a big academic institution like that has. And open this two-room office. I didn't know if the phone would ever ring again.
That's right.
I started from ground zero.
Sure.
And I also didn't have the money to start a radio program. But the Lord had a solution for that.
Let me ask you this. Your dad did a similar thing when you were 16.
He did.
You were testing your mom a little bit. You weren't bad. You weren't outright rebellious, but you were just kind of...
I was going in the wrong direction.
You were testing the waters.
Yeah.
And she called your dad and said, I need you. Hmm. And he canceled all of his future events, sold your house, took a little tiny pastorate, and spent that time with you while you were still in high school.
He saved me. He pulled me back.
When did you know that, and did that make your decision to leave USC easier because it had been modeled for you in the past?
It had an impact on me.
Did you remember it at the time?
I'm not sure. It's hard to remember what I remembered. But all I know is that my dad put his priorities in the right order. And when I was 16 again, I was starting to break loose. And my dad was an evangelist, and he had a four-year slate of revival meetings. He was a prominent evangelist in our denomination. And when my mother said, you're needed at home, he got on a train. He was 1,000 miles away, and he came home and put the house up for sale. He shocked me because I found myself on a train on my way down to South Texas where he had accepted this pastorate. Mm. And I didn't understand it all very well, but I know now because I have the letters that went back and forth between my mom and dad. Mm. And she was saying, you really are needed right now. And he put me first. He canceled 4 years of slate. And he and I fished together and hunted together and played tennis together. He came to all my tennis matches. And really, the awe with which I hold my dad, the memory of my dad today, is that I mattered to him more even than his ministry.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. It's the other way around for most pastors. They feel like if they do a good job and they build a church and serve the Lord in this way, that God's obligated to take care of their kids. I just wish it were that way, but it isn't.
Right.
If you don't have time for your children, they won't have time many times and on many occasions for you, what you believe, right, and why you believe it.
That's why you used to quote Cats in the Cradle.
It is, yeah, exactly, yeah, why. That's right, in the film series.
I wondered if it made your decision almost harder because you saw your dad do what he did for you and yet not regain his career. He never went back to the prominence that he had when he left. I know you loved him and you revere him and you hold him on a pedestal, which you should. And you were making a choice at the time. Now, your career took off because of the choices you made, but it certainly wasn't guaranteed. And in your experience, that was kind of a career killer.
Well, that's a message that I have in the book that I want to get across to fathers, that you very well may pay a price for putting your priorities in order. It may cost you.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how many men there are out there listening to me who have a job that's so demanding that they can't give of themselves to their kids. If you set that in order and straighten it out, it may cost you.
Sure.
Professionally, financially, and other ways. But going back to my dad's letter, when you sit where I do today, mm-hmm, those things really won't matter. See, I'm now older than he was when he wrote that letter. See, right, and I can say to you, to Danae, to our other family members and to anybody who will listen, and I've tried to say it in this book, that you'll regret it if you let these years get away,
yeah,
and your progeny and all those you could influence don't know Christ.
Well,
that's
right,
where it all starts. Yeah. The legacy that I write about in this book has to do with that transfer of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've done a good job with it. And I know that in your experience in ministry, you've met countless men that have blown it and regret it. It just solidifies the decision that you made when you meet men that said, I wasn't there, I was absent, or the kids of those dads that said, I didn't have a dad, I wish I had a dad.
I want to tell you, it's the easiest mistake to make. And that's why I almost made it.
The easiest mistake is putting your career over family.
Yeah, everything else, mm-hmm, came first. And I realized that I had my priorities upside down. Now, I want to tell you, it's not easy for a type A personality like me to just suddenly do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to sound like some saint here where I came home and just sat and looked at my kids. And there were many times where I did it wrong.
Was it hard to stop going to USC, to drive there, to be among colleagues, to go to a two-room office, this tiny little thing in a big building, and wonder, my goodness, what have I done?
Right.
Yeah, it was difficult. You know, Meg, publishing in a medical school is everything.
Everything.
And I was publishing articles in the American Academy of Pediatrics and PEDS.
Yep.
Pediatrics, and the Journal of the American Medical Association, and so many others. I was on my way. My career was wide open to me, and it was hard, just like it was for my dad. But I've never looked back, and I've never regretted it.
Dad, I hate to do this to you, and we've done it to so many guests in the past, but we're out of time, and we've barely scratched the surface of this and the book. So can I ask you, will you stick around?
That's kind of funny.
It is.
I've done 8,000 radio
goodness,
programs.
I can witness say that for so
that
long.
Yeah. Will you
can we do another
course,
day?
Of yeah course.
Good. Well, to get a copy of Your Legacy, head to our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Join us next time for more on Your Legacy.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Dr. James Dobson wants to send you a copy of an important book that is reframing the abortion issue in our country called Abortion, the Ultimate Exploitation of Women. Author Brian E. Fisher brings men face-to-face with a part they've played in the legalization of abortion in America and issues a clarion call to help bring an end to the world's most grievous Holocaust. This game-changing book also shows how ending abortion in America would not just benefit the millions of children who lose their lives each year, it would be an enormous step forward for women in their quest for equal rights and equal protection. This eye-opening resource is our gift to thank you for your donation of $50 or more today. Call Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk to request your copy at 877-732-6825 or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org.